Romans 8, 1 through 17. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned in sin in the flesh, that the righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yes. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are doubters, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do not mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but if ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself breatheth witness on our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children then hears of God, the joint hears with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord have a blessing on the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Let us pray. O most gracious Master, Father God, we come to you the most humblest way you know how. Father God, I ask that the meditation of my heart be acceptable and be able to deliver the word that you have laid on my heart to your people, Heavenly Father. Let it have your way, Lord God. Let it be of you and not of me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm just going to go through the Christian struggle that we have against with the flesh of our body and the Spirit of the Lord. As it said in the first scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We should learn how to walk in the Spirit at all times, but God tells us in the Word, not after the flesh. The Spirit is a good place to be. It's a safe place to be in the Spirit of the Lord. And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has already freed us from all of our sins and death if we walk in the Spirit. And as I said, that's a good place to be in the Spirit of the Lord. And we get weak sometimes. Sometimes we get weak and we don't understand what's going on with the flesh. But we have to ask God to come to us, Father God. You have to ask for more strength.
Yes.
More strength, as he says in this word, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when you're minding things of the flesh, that's what we're always going to go after. The flesh things, the fornication, the alcohol, over drinking and doing, stealing and lying and those things. Those are fleshly things, also known as worldly things. But in the Bible, he calls it flesh things.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So this is why it's so important for us to go after the Spirit of the Lord. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't you want to please God? Don't you want to please what he does for us? His good and mercy that he endureth in us forever? All we have to do is just serve him and be right by him, and he'll bless us. The flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ Jesus. You don't belong to God. You're not his. It says so right here in this word. Christ, it says, because of sin, but the Spirit is life. I'm sorry, not there. Now, if man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. And the scripture is a good story, and it's called the Christian struggle. Now, I have a few things I'd like to go over. If you want to put a title to the scripture, I'd like to put whom or what is driving in your life. Whom or what is driving in your life? Everyone's life is driven by spiritual flesh. Driving is defined by the verb drive, a guide, to control, or to direct. Whether you are driving a car, a hammer into a nail, or a golf ball, you are guiding and controlling or directing that item at the moment. Now remember, when it's enforced in your life, right now you may be driven by a problem, a pressure, or a deadline. You could even be driven by a painful memory or a haunting fear. There are many circumstances, values, and emotions that can drive your life. Here are five of the most common ones that I came up, that I found, that the Lord led me to. Number one, many people are driven by guilt. They spend many years running from regrets and hiding their shame. Guilty people are manipulated by memories. They allow the past to control their future. And that's something we shouldn't do. We shouldn't allow our past to control our future, not knowing that you are punishing yourself, your success. Remember when Cain sinned, his guilt disconnected from him God's presence. And God said to Cain, you will be restless when wandering the earth. That's in Genesis 4 and 12. This is how some of us do today. We just wander through life without a purpose. We are products of our past, but we shouldn't hold it against ourselves. God's purpose is not limited to our past, because he specializes in giving us a fresh start, and he gives us a fresh start over and over again. The Bible says in Psalms 32, 1 and 2, what happens for those whose guilt has been forgiven? What joy of those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. God clears our record up for us, y'all. He clears it up and he allows us to start over and over and over again. So we have the beautiful opportunity. Number two, resentment and anger, displeased. Sometimes we hang on to our hurts, never get over them. But we must learn how to release our pain through forgiveness. Some people analyze their anger and others just blow up. Sometimes we just blow up through our anger and we pass it on to other people. We explode and we pass it on to others. Whether you analyze or blow up, they're both unhealthy and unhelpful. Remember, resentment always hurt you more than the person you resent. Amen? Amen. Resentment can hurt you more than the person you resent. Your offender probably have forgotten about the whole thing and gone on with their life, and you still allowing yourself to suffer the pain. And we do that to ourselves quite often. We have something that we're angry about or we're upset about that may happen 3 years ago, and we continue to talk about it, carry that pain with us. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be free. He wants to be free from all our pain and suffering. He said it in his word. It says in Job 5 and 2, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. That's Job 5 and 2. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Excuse me. So we have to allow ourselves to continue to move forward, as I said, and don't allow yourself to suffer the pain. People who have hurt you, excuse me, people who have hurt you in the past can't continue to hurt you unless you hold on to the pain. Your past is past. Learn from it. Let it go. Again, the Bible says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. So we need to continue to learn to move forward on those things, and we have to learn another thing that's coming up here in just a moment. Number three, fear. Many people are driven by fear. Fear is a result of a traumatic experience, an unrealistic expectation. Something may have really feared you growing up. Whatever the cause may be, fear-driven people can often cause you to miss out on a great opportunity or great opportunities because you are afraid of venting out. We have to vent out. We have to let people know what's in our heart, what God has asked us to do. Sometimes we have to go in peace and do just what God has asked us to do. But we have to be able to vent out whatever may be on our heart and our mind. Instead, you just don't do it. You avoid the situation. We can't avoid situations. Fear will keep you from doing what God has for you to do. God may have something special for you to do, and if you have fear, it's going to keep you from doing it. Amen? Amen. What God's intention is for you to be there, this is where we must be, where our faith come in. We must have our faith and love. The Bible says in John 4 and 18, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fear for life, fear of death, judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. That's in 1 John 4 and 18. So we have to realize that fear can hold us back. And we have to remember that we were first loved by God. So we have to love one another. We have to love one another. Matters what? You may not like my ways or things that I do or my behavior, but you have to love me in spirit and in truth in the name of Jesus. Matters all what matters, whatever I may do that may be displeasing to you, but you have to love me. Amen. And number four, materialism. Materialism, this is where your desires become the whole goal of your life. It's always based on having more, will make you happy, and it will make you more important, secure. This is not true, having it all. It only provides a temporary happiness. Then we get bored and we want more things, bigger, a better version. Also, it's a myth. If we don't get more, we'll be more important. If we get more, we'll be more important. This is not true. That's a myth. If the more we get, the better we'll be, the more important we are. This is untrue. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, lay not upon yourself treasure up on earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this is what we're to do. And according to what the Bible says, we have to put our treasures up in heaven. And nothing will happen to them. If we get more, we think that we'll be more important. God says your value is not determined by your valuables. But the most valuable thing in life are not things. Having more will not make you more secure. Having Jesus in your life will make you more secure. Make you more safe, make you more happy, make you more, your finances will flow. Having Jesus in your life, all that will have, he will bless you abundantly over and above the things that you think. God can bless you seven times more, but you have to be secure in Jesus. That's where you should secure ourselves. Number five. Approval. People allow approval from parents, spouses, children, teachers, and friends. There are some adults that are still trying to get approval from their parents. We find ourselves driven by peer pressure, always wondering what others think. We don't have to worry about what nobody else thinks. We'll be thankful for our parents that we can get decisions from them. Or they can lead us and guide us in the right path, in the right direction. We have to be thankful for our parents and grandparents. We just be thankful for that. Remember, don't follow the crowd because you might get lost in it. There are many keys to success. But the number one key to failure is to try to please everyone. You can't please everybody. You have to please God, and that's where we should keep our focus. He come first in all and everything that we do. He should come first. He should be making, we have to learn how to make his business, our business, his business. We can't be independent. We can't walk this race by ourselves. We can't run this race by ourselves. We have to have someone in spirit, in the spirit. What or whom is driving in your life? What or whom is driving in your life? Is it the flesh in the name of Jesus? Is it the spirit? Come daily, Bosha. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. We have to find out and determine, are we going to be led by the flesh or by the spirit? What or whom is driving in your life? Being controlled by others will allow you to miss what God's purpose is for you in life. We have to ask Jesus to take over our life. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and 24, no one can serve two masters. So we have to make a decision about who's going to serve us, who's going to be in control of our life, whom or what is driving in your life. There shouldn't be anything in your life that matters more to you than knowing God. Knowing God is beautiful. It's a good thing. It's an all-around thing. It's about knowing who He is, trusting in Him. Sometimes I used to think when I was younger that I didn't have a friend. But when I found Jesus, I found that I had a friend for life. He was my friend then, and He still is now and will be forevermore. What He wants you to do for Him in your life, nothing can take the place of Him. Not success can take the place. Yes. Not wealth.
Yes.
Not fame.
Yes.
Or pleasure. Without Him, your life has no purpose. Without God, life is just petty and petty and pointless.
Yes.
Without Him in your life, know where you are. Know who you're going to serve. Whom or what is driving in your life? Know what or whom is driving in your life. We have to have a meaning and an understanding with ourselves of what and whom is driving in your life. Keep focused on the goal God has for your life. We have to keep focused on the goal that God has for our life. He's a wonderful God. He's a good God. He's a serving God. What or whom will be driving in your life? In 2:19, we're not complete with 2:18. We don't know if we're gonna make it to 2:19.
Right.
What or whom is driving in your life? It says in His Word, you have to decide on the flesh or the spirit.
Yeah.
What or whom is driving in your life? We have to think about this. We should cleanse our heart.
Yeah.
Learn how to forgive. We have to learn how to forgive one another and be good to one another. Be respectful to one another. What or whom is driving in your life? And we just want to put your hands together right now and give God some praise in this house. And we just thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for the opportunity to be able to hear and receive His word.
Yes, amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Amen.
The doors of the church are open. Can I get someone to come here and to the front, please?
I just have a little story to tell.
Amen.
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 When was that? Yeah, it was Christmas Day. Christmas morning. Well, not really. Well, almost noon time. I was running a little late for work. I had to get at 11. That was Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the phone with a family friend I hadn't seen like in a many, many years, but she converted her life to God over like 20 years
Amen.
Ago.
Amen.
I mistakenly like to call to her old street name.
Okay.
I had to kind of catch myself.
All right.
So we were kind of deep in the conversation. She was asking me about my brother. So I was on 16 just to drive, and I looked at my needle. I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to run out of gas. Run out of